do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, the podcast that doesn't look that good, but you can eat it.
I'm so honored.
That's a really good tagline.
Isn't it?
I'm your co-host, John, and this is all my fault.
Co-host, Besha, and I think it was actually, but at least you can eat it.
I don't know. You know what? We should bring our guest back immediately so that he may verify. Yes, exactly. Our guest, coming back for his sixth appearance, our excellent pal, Yaz. Yaz.
Hello, I'm crawling out of the cupboard again. I think it was, but at least you can eat it. I don't know. I just kind of winged it. It doesn't look that good, but at least you can eat it. I don't know how you can eat a podcast, but certainly edible. There's my idea.
That for terrible recommendations.
Terrible recommendations. Edible podcasts. It's on. Did you know there did used to be? I remember reading about this. Someone once pressed, I think commercially, vinyl records, except they weren't made of vinyl, they were made of chocolate. And you could get one play out of them.
It would have to be a pretty low-grade chocolate if it wasn't going to melt at, like, just the friction of the needle traveling over it.
Well, that's why you get one play.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would be possible to carve an audio track into something like a, you know, like a hard candy in the shape of a, you know, a 12-inch disc.
Very possible.
The sugar crystalline structure probably doesn't allow for that.
Yeah, I was just thinking it would probably crumble or shatter.
See, we are solving important candy engineering problems, and we're not even 3 minutes.
You know who we need to bring in for that? No offense to Yaz, who is my very favorite guest, is probably Arlen. He's got the food science background. He'll know.
I agree.
But I have a very strong candy eating background.
As do I.
I'm eating chocolate at the moment, in fact.
What are you eating?
I am on keto right now, so I am eating Lily's sugar-free chocolate that is actually incredible. It's made with erythritol and stevia.
Whoa.
And while it is distinctly different from stuff with sugar in it, it is not the sugar-free candy of your grandmother's handbag.
I'm glad to hear that.
And,
incredible.
Yeah, and they do like multiple flavors of chocolate. And
excellent.
They should really thank me for pitching their product by sending me, I don't know, like a 6-pack. I'll take the caramelized and salted. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually quite good, and it is the only reason I've been able to survive a sugar-free diet.
Indeed.
I'm having trouble surviving thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. How long are you on it for?
You know, I did it for four months over the summer. And we just started again a couple of weeks ago. It what really helps is if you can't cook, so your partner cooks, and your partner is on the same diet. Food just magically appears in front of you. It's a lot easier to stick to a diet than if you consistently find yourself having to wander down to the corner store at 9:30 at night because you forgot to get something for dinner. And
indeed.
Eating, you know.
A handful of almonds.
A handful of almonds. Actually, a handful of almonds would be very keto. But
a Lego man.
Day-old pastry and a pint of Ben & Jerry's New York Super Fudge Chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perhaps it is time we clued our listeners in as to what is happening.
Yeah, what the hell is happening here?
Well, let me tell you. Over the last decade, I built up an unedited archive of ideas 800 strong and still growing. And now my friends get to dig through it to see if there's anything interesting, funny, or potentially lucrative in there. If you hear one and you agree it's good, take it and run. I just want credit.
And I want a cut.
Yas, what's the first thing you found in my the ruins of my mind palace?
Two words, one an acronym, filed in the art category. CYOA Metal. I presume CYOA stands for Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yes, but now I don't know where the metal part figures into it. Is it,
do you turn left or right?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
is it like an album of music? But how would you choose?
Well, you can choose by. I mean, well, look, we live in an age of miracles and multimedia.
This is true.
And where we can construct dynamic interfaces to such a, clearly I've been redigesting like 1993 era Wired, and you know, I'm gonna start, you know, manifesting Louis Rossetto and horrible crap. I'm just imagining right now metal of the kind that is telling a story about the demons of hell and sacrifices and whatever, and then it stops. And now, do you want the demons of hell to burst forth from the earth and enslave everyone? Or do you want the demons of hell to lure you and all people into the earth? So, you know, where do you want these lyrics to go?
I love that. Let's make that the canonical implementation, because that is amazing.
But I also really like the Besher's idea of just basically taking a choose-your-own-adventure book and then performing it as a metal song.
Really, you could do... I mean, how many sections do you think a choose-your-own-adventure book had?
Didn't somebody produce some concept maps of the first few, like the first few classic ones a while ago?
Or am I... I've seen that.
Am I making... Yeah, okay. I'm glad I'm not making it up in my own brain.
I think that you could do this as an album, with each one being a track, and those tracks don't have to be more substantial than anything on the Magnetic Field 69 Love Songs.
Oh, hey, perfect.
Some of them can
true.
Be quite robust. Some of them can be... you know, the death of Ferdinand de Saussure, but some of them can also be shit. I can't think of any of the really short, annoying ones.
How fucking romantic?
Yeah. Oh, no, no. That is a pearl.
It is. Let's pretend we're bunny rabbits. There's one of the... It rips off the orb. I was amazed to realize this.
Now, there is a band / outfit that I have not thought of in some time.
Yeah. They're still going.
Oh, hell yes, nice.
And maybe they would also be... I mean, maybe bring the... so here's the idea, okay? To circle this all around, we have a tribute album that instead of being a tribute to a particular band, is a tribute to Choose Your Own Adventure books, and every participating band has to produce a song that effectively in some way reproduces the Choose Your Own Adventure book they picked, and we get Stephen Merritt, and we get Alex Patterson, and we get God, I don't know, Dimmu Borgir, or
Gwar.
There is nothing. I mean, yeah, there is nothing that Gwar can't make better.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Now we just need to see this happen. What is the next item you found in my list?
So the next item, and I apologize in advance to Besher and to all other non-child having listeners, because this is another parenty. I think this is a parenty one. It's just literally called. The idea is literally playing with kids. I suspect other people may have had that idea in the past, though usually under duress.
There has to be something in the notes for that.
Yes, well, the category is child rearing. Okay. And the notes... the notes give additional useful context. The angle at which you were thinking of attacking this. The notes are, hang them upside down until they say something nonsensical.
Yes, no. This was...
Okay, before you say... Was this before or after you became a parent?
Oh, well before. Many, right. Many years before. This was advice that a buddy of mine gave me, where, like, I have this sneaking suspicion that it actually might have been Stephanie, a mutual friend of mine in Yaz's, although maybe this was simply advice that was given to her, where, like, you know, like, it was like being the fun aunt or the fun uncle, where, like, you basically, like, kids eventually will reach a certain age where all you need to do in order to play with them is to grab them by the ankles and hold them upside down until they say something nonsensical, and then you can, you know, you release them back onto, you know, a couch or a bed or something, and they laugh, and you can do it all over again, and that's you know, like this. Yeah, I was for a while there, which tells you something about kind of like my, I guess, my approach to parenting. There is a child rearing section in this archive that is literally just tips and crap that I picked up from friends of mine about, you know, like raising kids well before I had ever met Mavis. Like, it just sort of like, I was like, oh, I'm going to need this at some point in my life. And, you know, I should revisit that section just to see what's in there.
Well, there is...
And then do them all at once.
But having it in front of me, I should warn you that it is a fairly slim section. Also, the first item in the section is, and I'm repeating this verbatim, continuous lone wolf and cub testing for infants.
Continuous lone wolf and cub testing?
So lone wolf and cub is a... Is it Japanese?
Yes.
Story and manga and famous from years back. Lone wolf and cub, samurai, very tough, has a baby boy, I think. And
yes.
Then something horrible happens, mother is killed, and the dude basically realizes that if the kid does not turn out to be as vicious a killer as the father is, then he's just going to be a fucking liability. And so basically tests the kid by sticking on one side a sword and on the other a ball. And literally, if I remember correctly, because I've seen a bit of the movie, and this is the only line I remember, it says to the child who's just like literally 1 year old, sitting just looking utterly cute and dazed, as one-year-olds do. The dad says, choose the sword and you may join me. Choose the ball and you will join your mother.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes. So, that kind of thing, but like you would keep doing it. And obviously not with those kind of stakes, but just to sort of see what the kid likes. Where it's sort of like, you know, are you a dog or a cat kid? Do you like, you know, wooden blocks, or are you plastic, you know, cars? Are you, you know, like,
mm-hmm. More of an A/B testing on your child.
Yes, yeah, it's continuous A/B testing. Do you like red blocks or blue blocks? You know, just you would have that data. That also was that's an old one, but it still might be a good one.
It does. I can tell that it's from your pre-parent days, because it does assume a kind of consistency with the answers at all.
True. True. Yes.
It would be interesting. I mean, I think there should be probably an edition of this or something where you revisit those ideas, like, as an actual parent now, and go, combination of either what the hell was I thinking, or holy crap, that's the idea that I've been missing the whole time in my sleepless haze of dribbling.
Of parenthood.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
I by the way, appreciate you, the apology to me as a person who doesn't have children, because I was on a big Skype call with a bunch of friends this weekend who are from college, one of whom is expecting, and we do a little baby shower and talk about things, because we're all scattered all over the country and the world. And most of those people now have children, and they would tell stories, and I would find myself wanting to bust in with stories about my friends' children. Because my friends' children are great. But at some point I realized that I only wanted to share them because it was the only story I had about a baby, and not because it actually had anything to do with what they were talking about. Like, babies! I know this one! I know a baby. I know a baby. Oh, wait. Is it a baby? God, when do they stop being babies? Shit. So,
Would be fantastic. I would pay to hear a recording of you on that call, where you see how far you can push your impression of ignorance about babies until they realize that you're just mocking them.
These are a good group of college friends. A group of good college friends who would pick up on it very quickly. They probably would have probably did pick up on faster than I did that I was just sharing these stories because they were the only things I knew about babies.
But the thing is that when you're a parent as well, firstly, can I just say to you and everybody else that I think let me say this to other parents out there, that in case you hadn't realised it, and Besha, please confirm this if I'm right, because I'm, as a parent, I'm now on the other side and only have vague memories of what it would like to not be a parent. But the friends who aren't parents are mostly, while they may enjoy your kids occasionally, are mostly just sick of hearing about them.
I honestly am not. And that may in part be because I don't live close to any of them.
Right.
And my brother acquired children. He did not father them himself. So I didn't hear a full lifetime of stories about them. But no, my friends have the most intelligent and beautiful children. And I'll fight mm-hmm. anyone who says otherwise.
This
and I will fave every fucking photo of Quentin. Even if John posts it on Instagram and Mavis posted it, I'm going to double fave it because it's Quentin.
He's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with them.
Well, that is one of the best recommendations for not having kids, in terms of that you get to enjoy other people's kids on your own timetable.
Yep.
And rather than being driven by your own kids, which you now don't have, fortunately. But also you get to give them back.
Yep.
Yeah.
When they get
anting is wonderful.
Or sticky.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Hell, and you get to give them books. That's my favorite part.
Oh yes. Mm.
I do have to say, that my brother and his wife are, their book gifting game is very much on point.
Mm-hmm.
None of the books that they gave will be like, they're not board books, but they will be books that will be very valuable to him when he gets a little older, and I can't wait to introduce him.
That's wonderful.
That's true.
He's at a Borbrook age, so I can definitely remember, if you can still get hold of them, McSweeney's Baby Be of Use series.
Oh yeah, those are great.
Such as Baby Mix Me a Drink.
Yeah.
Because your child is never too young to learn the ingredients of a martini.
That's true. Although people can be strangely humorless if you ask them if their child can mix a Manhattan yet.
That's
fooled.
Tragic.
Yeah.
God.
How many ideas have we gone through?
like one?
One? Yes.
What's the next thing on the list?
Hey, John, did you see the really excellent comics about ADD and the one about storytelling on ADD?
No.
I'll send it to you.
Please do.
That's what this podcast is always, but especially today.
I kind of doomed it.
No, not at all.
Can you send it to me, and then can you invite me back, and then can we spend the whole podcast talking about it?
All right, what's your next idea?
Next is a party. It's in the category party. It is Global Roaming Party Tugboat. Now, I can imagine Global Roaming Party.
Yes.
On a boat. But
yes.
Tugboat.
That's the part that I don't understand either. Maybe it's a vast barge, and it's simply powered by the tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe at a certain point, perhaps the barge becomes too befouled to be useful in any capacity, and it is simply sunk. And everybody has to climb on board the tugboat and until a new barge can be attached. Why a tugboat? Past me.
Because
I didn't put any notes in there.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Objectively funny.
I agree.
I always think of them kind of rocking in time to the music and tooting and in a very kind of 1930s Disney kind of way.
Totally, with the smokestack. Yeah. Yes, agreed. Yeah, no, I think it has to be. I think the tugboat has to be attached to a party barge.
Yeah, I like the idea of the, especially if you thinking of a survival of the fittest kind of thing, of where you have several of these things going around, several parties, and then you see. What combination of people makes a party succeed, and which one devolves into a horrific, Lord of the Flies or whatever. have you read The Filth by Grant Morrison?
Oh, God.
I mean, no good sentence ever starts that way, or at least no sentence with any shred of hope ever starts that way.
No, I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Right.
And yes, that. Ooh, yeah. Although that is a cruise ship.
It is, and it's a cruise ship. I think isn't it meant to basically be a parody of like seasteading, or you know, all those libertarian wannabe countries with no rules, where we're going to set out to sea and be our own country, and then you know, within the space of a month, it turns into
we're all dead of cholera.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it had to have been.
Mm.
Man, there's a comic that I should probably reread.
God, it's so odd. It's very sorry, I realize not a hugely distinctive comment, but
especially not for a Grant Morrison work.
Well, but yeah. Exactly.
Yes, yes. But anyway, yes, yeah. I think it would have to be a barge, but the tugboat. Here's the question: how fast are tugboats? Not very.
Mm.
But they're very powerful. I just, you know, like I'm imagining this thing being towed basically from port to port, perhaps along a coast.
Mm.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is the party on the tugboat, or is the tugboat pulling the party boat?
The tugboat is pulling the party.
Okay,
barge.
Right. Okay, sorry. Yes, I lost track for a second there.
It would make a really fucking nice alternative to Fleet Week.
God.
You know, when the party barge actually comes into port.
I would rather hear the party barge shrieking the way that Majul used to do back in the day in the mission than listen to those fuckers flying overhead.
Yes, yes.
And, yep.
So, okay, let's straight on to another idea. There's actually two. You know what? To make up the numbers, I've got two here. They are both in the category photo. They both have the same notes, which are photo shoot idea. One of them, the first one, is 8th floor of Sutter/Stockton garage. And the second one is Battery Chamberlain. So, John, what? Just what?
What was the category for this?
The category is photo. So these are both photo shoot ideas.
Yeah, I kept a running archive of locations that would make for good photo shoots, and for some, I must have thought that both of these were a good idea. The first one, of course, yeah, just being the top floor of a parking garage that I guess must have had a very particular picturesque view. Mm-hmm. That maybe would be good for, like, somebody pretending to, you know, like, maybe be, like, in a band that was having some kind of, you know, like, doing their album cover. And the second one is, there are emplacements along the San Francisco coast for large artillery pieces, basically, you know, that were aimed to, like, to ward off invaders. And, I mean, obviously they no longer function, but the concrete structures are still there. And I think that was the other photo shoot idea. And I that also, to me, still seems valid. Although I'm not sure for what purpose. Like, maybe another band? Or maybe just because it's a cool place to take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are great. I can't remember. There's one in Oregon, on the coast of Oregon, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Fort something. This is, I'm clearly a very knowledgeable person. Not a clue. But yeah, they are, and these wonderful old concrete structures that, you know, have with the grace of time and lack of war, are now much more fondly approachable and usable for this kind of thing.
Totally, totally. So yeah, that was those. I think that those might still be valid ideas.
I want to go with you to the 8th floor of the Sutter and Stockton garage. I'm now really curious because it's very specific, right? You've specifically said the 8th floor. This
not
is
not the top, you, right? Which would be very obvious.
That might be the top.
It might be, but why did you say the 8th?
I don't know.
And that's the point, right? I think that, you know, you clearly, this I trust you as having experienced this.
I mean, clearly enough to at least have written it down. So.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we should do it. I think that we should do it. Let's meet at some point. We'll bring a third person, and we'll do a photo shoot where the two of us pretend to be in a band. We're a musical duo of some kind, and we'll take our album cover our album cover photo.
I'm so up for that.
Excellent. Excellent.
So up for that.
All right. What's next?
So, okay, so to round it out, I think this one that I'm so glad, I think this is the last one, and I'm so glad we're ending on this one because it's just instant win. The category is product, tagged print. The idea is spaceships, karate, and video games. And the notes say a magazine for maternity waiting rooms.
Yes. Yes. I can tell you the exact moment that I had this notion. I accompanied a friend of mine. She was getting one of those fancy 3D sonograms where, like, they can give you kind of like a fully 3D picture of your, you know, fetus in development. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like, it took a really long time. Like, but the time between us checking in and actually doing the thing was absurdly long for some reason. And I was in the waiting room and, you know, like, there were all these magazines, but they were all for the mothers. And I was like, there should be something here for like, you know, the friends who are just sort of along for the ride, mm-hmm. or for like inattentive dads, where inattentive dads to be, as it were. That is literally just this. It's yeah, spaceships, karate, and video games. Where it's just like, and that's all it is. It's you know, like articles and pictures of spaceships, and it would teach you, and there would be some kind of, there'd be, you know, like a couple of different articles that would teach you one or two different karate moves, and then, you know, there would be the video game coverage of some sort, and I thought this was brilliant.
I think you're right. This just the title, I'm just instantly sold. It reminds me of that bit in Airplane where you've got the boy reading the magazine Boy's Life, and next to him is sitting a nun reading Nun's Life, which on the cover has a surfing nun in full habit and everything. But it's the thing I like, the many things I like about this. Firstly, if we take the idea as being that the mother, you know, giving birth, and that the person waiting outside is male and a father, then it is a fabulous commentary on modern masculinity and possible infantilization of a male, but also as something that you don't want to assume it's a man. It might be a woman, might be several women, might be a whole bunch of different people. And
totally.
Spaceships, karate, and video games is accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Far more than bloody, you know, I don't know, Sports Illustrated, Cigar Aficionado,
golf. The magazine of golf.
Failure magazine, yeah.
We should at least, I mean, I would love to see at least one issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and like, I mean, isn't there a service that does print on demand where you can actually, like, make an issue of a magazine? I kind of, God, if I had the money.
Certainly there is.
If mm-hmm. if I had the money, I would definitely hire some people to write articles and do some design pieces and just do a test run of one issue and just, like, just drop it off at a hospital somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of, like, see how quickly it gets read to tatters.
Or stolen, more likely.
Or stolen. Yes,
this is,
true.
This, yeah. This is a problem we used to have in my old clinic's waiting room any time we bought Bitch.
Oh, no. How long did they last?
Yeah. But Us Magazine was there forever.
Yeah. I had forgotten about, I mean, unsurprisingly, I had forgotten about this idea, Yas. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it back, and hopefully somebody out there will make it happen.
Can I just say right now, I will write for it for free. As long as I get a couple of copies, just so I can show my friends and go, hey, I wrote something for this magazine, and just, you know, the eyes of... I'm wondering what you can put on the cover. It's just an really interesting cover design question in terms of how many buttons can you hit in one cover?
That's a good question. We would have to task some artists and see what they came up with. I have the feeling that putting together this magazine would be so incredibly entertaining, mm-hmm. as to suffice as its own reward.
Yes. Yes, I can imagine. Well, I don't want to say that most people would write for it for free, because most people these days who are writers would like food. But those of us who somehow are still clinging to an overly romanticized idea of what it would be like to be a writer, would probably go for it.
Agreed. Do, do, do. It is now time for one of us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest. Does anybody have anything? Because if we don't, I have one thing.
Go on.
I have a terrible recommendation, which is the Lucky Charms people have decided to make a new variant of Lucky Charms where the cereal part is like, they're called Fruity Lucky Charms. The marshmallows are the same. The cereal bit is this kind of like weird, sugary, like strawberry-ish kind of thing, and it is a mistake. I'm willing to admit this. I bought a box because I was curious, and having satisfied that curiosity, I wish I had perhaps not. I mean, I'm definitely going to finish this box, but I will likely not buy another. Let's just put it that way.
Gamble, isn't it? Because you can't... those variety packs where you get the 10 little boxes, you know, always have the same 10 little boxes, and you end up leaving the... You know, having the Frosted Flakes and the Rice Krispies and never eating the Apple Snack, whatever they're called. Or at least I've never did. But need that those small samplers, or maybe that's what they're counting on not selling you, so that you see fruit at Lucky Charms and you are tempted enough to buy far more than you will ever actually eat.
I mean, it certainly worked on me, so yes. Yes. Well, let's let everybody know where we can be found on the internet. For me, this is simple. Thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter, you can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
You can find me on Twitter, and that's everything. Highly entertaining links and me complaining at Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
And you can find me on Twitter at Yoz, Y-O-Z, or Z, and on Mastodon, at Yoz, at mastodon.social. And when you find me on Twitter, I'm complaining about being there. And when you find me on Mastodon, I'm complaining about not being there enough and generally.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to the show by searching for Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcast app of choice and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and or a nice review. It would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, why not tell a friend? Tell several.
Thanks for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
And I want a cut.